Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Friday show, as always, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Weather's getting nicer. You're stopping by. People are stopping by your place. You have parties coming up. Could be a graduation party. Could be a first communion. Could be whatever. Where there's going to be a get-together. Could be a family reunion. Mother's Day is coming up. You want to make sure you're fully stocked and ready to go. So Brewers Outlet's the place to go. Did I mention beer? How about the best selection of imports, domestics, microbrews? Outstanding. Snacks, soda, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. As you're going by, the bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills. Love the barrel pickles. I'm going to be coming into the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament a week from Wednesday. And I can assure you in no uncertain terms, there will be a Brewers Outlet restocking run by me. So I shall be there. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. There were a lot of great calls last night, but there was only one no-hitter, Pat Hughes, with the call on the score, WSCR.
And the 2-2, a fly ball, shallow right, playable. Zobrist is there. Coming in is Hayward. No-hitter for Arrieta. Jake Arrieta pitches a no-hitter here at the Great American Ballpark.
He has thrown two no-hitters in his last 11 regular season starts. How about that? Imagine how the Orioles feel today. Two no-hitters in his last 11 regular season starts for Jake Arrieta. I have to give the Reds credit. Because they had to put out, obviously, something on Twitter in a game where they were no-hit. Their tweet was, Reds fall despite four walks. I have to give him credit. Reds fall despite four walks. Oh, well. All right, let's get into... We've talked a lot about the draft. I like what the Eagles did, by the way. I do like it. I know they have a lot of needs, but you know what? You've got to go out and get yourself a long-term solution at quarterback. And Sam Bradford's had one healthy year, and what do you do at that point? I mean, he's never once put together as a pro back-to-back healthy years. Now let's get into the media part. ESPN has made a couple of mistakes when it comes to how they've handled the Big Ten, and they paid for it each time in a certain way. Let's be fair now. There are a lot of Penn State fans that have no love for ESPN, especially how things have been handled over the last 4.5 years. Right? I understand that part. But they check all the boxes. As much as you may not like ESPN, they check all the boxes. Let's see. Number one cable sports network. Number one play-by-play cable sports network. Number one morning show in cable sports. Number one in social media. Their website, ESPN.com, gets more hits than any other sports website. And there's a significant ratings margin between them and viewership margin between them and who's next. Now, it's ESPN 1 that's in that one spot. Occasionally, ESPN 2 falls into the 3 spot. So before everyone gets, hey, you can go it alone, you don't need ESPN, that's not completely true. But they have made 2 missteps with the Big Ten. Here's number 1. They tried to low bid the Big Ten 10 years ago. And Jim Delaney said, look, you keep low bidding us, we're going to start our own network. And ESPN didn't think they could do it. They didn't think the Big Ten could start its own network and take inventory away from them. In other words, you want to be in cable, you got to be with us, pal. You're not going to be anywhere else. Whoops. The Big Ten did start its own network. Struggled the first year, but once they got Time Warner and Comcast on board, the Big Ten has turned big profits over the last 8 years. That was a big misstep by ESPN, where Jim Delaney called their bluff, and then ESPN came back with a 10-year, $1 billion deal at $100 million a year. Okay. What's number 2? Try to do the same thing again this time, not realizing that Fox would come in with a bid this high for half the rights, not all the rights, half the rights. And think about, it's 25 football games and 50 basketball games. Now, obviously, 25 is far from all the inventory in the Big Ten. So what I see happening is that, for the most part, I think you're going to have one game. Take 25 and divide it by 13, because there's a bye week in there. In the 13 weeks, that's essentially having one game on over-the-air Fox and one game on Fox Sports 1 every week, where they've got it all to themselves. So that's 2 games a week. Big Ten Network's probably going to take its usual inventory of 40 games during the course of the year. Now, there's also going to be more conference inventory this year, because you're adding in a 9th Big Ten football game this season as opposed to 8. The other package that is out there is also going to be for 25 games in football and 50 games in basketball. And the question is going to be whether they can get the money, or whether ESPN will have to partner with somebody else in order to make this happen. CBS and Turner, of course, now partner on the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and that partnership runs through 2032. Forgotten in this is the Big Ten's television package with CBS for basketball, which is Sunday afternoon basketball games and over-the-air CBS, and the Big Ten semifinals and the finals, which has worked out really well as a lead-in to the NCAA tournament selection show. Now, that won't be the case in 2018. The Big Ten's going to have to move up the tournament 1 week in order to play it at Madison Square Garden. Big East still has that last time slot through 2026, I think. So that's how it's going to work. Now, can you get the same? Because my understanding is ESPN bid $150 million a year. Fox bid $250 a year. Now, which one do you pick? But they only did it for half the rights. Half. So the other half's still there, and ESPN's going to have to come up with that. But they have now misjudged the Big Ten twice. How does one misjudge the importance of a marketplace that includes Chicago, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New York, Washington, Baltimore, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Detroit, Des Moines, Omaha, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Madison? How do you misjudge that? I realize ESPN has put a lot of money into the college football playoff, which is a great move by them. They put a lot of money into the NBA. I think that that's proven to be another great move for them. Their playoff ratings, I mean, their playoff games were averaging, I think, 1.6 million per viewer. I mean, that's impressive. That's good. But this is where, you know, they've misjudged it. Now, who's left out in the cold here? The SEC is going to is in great shape with what they have. They have a great deal with CBS. They have a great deal with ESPN. They have a great deal with ESPN's partnership with the SEC Network. Okay. The Big Ten, in all likelihood, when this is all said and done, is going to surpass the SEC in terms of average money per school. So when it's all said and done. Now who's struggling? Let's start with the ACC. The number of people over the years, especially in the last 5 years, that have complained so much about the Big Ten that they've all said, go to the ACC, go to the ACC, and repeatedly, whether it's in speaking engagements or on this show, I've said, no, you don't want to do that. In the end, your obligation is to take care of your 800 scholarship student athletes. How do you best take care of that? Well, you best take care of that with money. The ACC, in terms of pure population, may have the largest attendance population footprint in college sports. They really do. But they have no juice. And it's really odd about that, because when you look at the ACC, you've got Duke in basketball, North Carolina in basketball. My goodness. I mean, you look at Duke won the national championship 2 years ago. North Carolina played in the championship game this year. Louisville won it a couple years ago when they weren't in the ACC, but they are now. Well, and then you look at football. Florida State's won the national championship, played in the national semifinal where they lost to Oregon, and Clemson played in the title game this year. So you would think on the surface, the ACC is attractive, but the bottom line is it is not. It's a widespread conference. It's all over the place. It's not linked. I mean, Syracuse is, you know, New York State's not attached to, and they're attached to Massachusetts, but that's it. Massachusetts isn't attached to anything that's in the conference. And, of course, they pulled the old Notre Dame thing, which you know I don't like. You're either all in, all out. The heck with you. You're either all in, all out. And it is a conference that top to bottom, the bottom is not very strong. Okay. Now, you got a lot of population. You've got Atlanta in this conference. Atlanta's in it. Boston's in it. Obviously, Raleigh, Charlotte, Miami. I think I mentioned Miami already. Richmond. I mean, you've got some, obviously, some major cities in this conference, but they just don't have the juice, the top-to-bottom juice to do this. The Big 12. The Big 12 is saddled with the Longhorn Network, saddled with it. ACC wants to have a network, but they were so slow in starting, and now, you know what? They're not going to get it. It costs too much money to start it up. ESPN threw their resources heavily into the SEC network. They're not going to sit there and start the ACC network.
Is it because of ESPN with their new SEC network, which is going on a couple of years old now, is it because of that making sure they got it off to a great start is maybe a reason why they took their eyes off the ball, the Big Ten network ball?
Sean, it's a couple of reasons. Number one is that, yeah, you're absolutely right about the resources thrown into the SEC network. But number two is ESPN spent a lot of money on rights. They're spending $1.9 billion a year on Monday Night Football. They're now part of that $2.6 billion a year NBA contract. Now TNT has half of it too, but still ESPN threw in a huge chunk of change. The college football playoff, they're into that for 12 years, Sean. They have a 12-year deal with the ACC, a 12-year deal with the SEC, a 12-year deal with the Big 12, and a 12-year deal with the Pac-12. Right now, the Big Ten contract's out there. They've had to pay a lot of money for rights. I mean, a lot of money for rights. Well, at some point, there's not enough money left to start a new venture because you're part of the Disney Corporation. And as much as Star Wars did extremely well, not every Disney picture does well. And I'll give you a hint. Remember the George Clooney movie a year ago? George Clooney movie a year ago, which was like Fantasyland or something like that.
Yeah, that tanked. It didn't do well.
Well, it lost between $150 and $200 million. Well, that's a Disney picture. Oh, well, you got to make it up. You have to make it up, and you're still part of the overall company. Now, you make it up with Star Wars, sure. There are a couple other things, sure. The theme parks do okay. Well, for example, Euro Disney for years lost money. So you're all part of a big conglomerate of entertainment at Disney. And there are times where ESPN's had to carry it, and there's, you know, and they've, in order to be the number one cable network, they have really paid, you know, I'm not going to use the words overpay because I don't think that's fair. I think they have paid huge sums to keep themselves in the number one spot. And that's investment because now you can sell it. But I think that's an investment on their part. But, you know, that doesn't leave enough left for an ACC network. And the ACC went to Raycom and talked to them about an ACC network, and they don't have the outlets or the resources to do it. That's why the ACC stuck. Big 12 stuck. No Big 12 network, no resources to start it. Same story, no syndicator that will take it. The Longhorn Network is not doing well. It's just not. And it's kind of sucking the life out of the Big 12. The Pac-12, a lot of false bravado from the Pac-12 maybe 2 years ago from Commissioner Larry Scott. Well, right now, the Big Ten, for half of its rights, Sean, half, surpassed the Pac-12 money by just selling half its rights. That's how far behind they are financially. And the Pac-12 network, which is done through satellite dish and so forth, and dish providers, that's a mess, and it's hurt the conference. Now, we'll tell you on the flip side why basketball coaches are intent that it has to be a package on ESPN. We'll tell you about that in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Phillies are at Miller Park tonight, where they get the Brewers at 8:10, airtime 7:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Scott Fransky, Larry Anderson, 7:30 tonight with an 8:10 opening pitch this evening against the Brew Crew at Miller Park.
And your starting pitchers tonight are Zach Davies for the Brewers and Aaron Nola for the Fightins tonight.
That should be good. The Redskins are looking at Josh Norman. The question is, can they come up with $14 to $16 million? Dan Snyder has it. it would change dramatically what they're doing back there by getting him at corner. Norman's an interesting guy. I know I'm going to talk more about basketball and why the basketball coaches are telling Jim Delaney, hey, look, you got to give us something with ESPN. We'll tell you about that next half hour. Josh Norman, they play an interesting defense in Carolina. They really play a football version of a matchup zone. You see matchup zones played in college basketball all the time. That's what John Chaney played all the time at Temple's, a matchup zone. Essentially, what Carolina played was cover three, but they did it in such a way where it still had some man principles within the zone. You're still playing zone, but there's still man principles in it, in your area of it. And it's not like a college cover three. College cover three is like an umbrella, three guys back. They almost dare you to throw deep because they want you to throw deep because they can foul ball you easily by doing that. So I always laugh every time I see cover three and they throw deep. And the so it's going to be interesting because you know that's not where they're going to play in Washington or in San Francisco. Do I think it would be a great move for the Redskins? Not my money, so I'd do it. But he is, you know, he's been cut loose. He'd have to make an adjustment by playing with, say, for example, the Redskins, because they're not going to play that cover three matchup the way Carolina does, which obviously worked in his favor.
I was surprised to hear that Josh Norman's 28. I didn't think he was that old.
Yeah. In fact, I broadcast his first game in college. He played in Beaver Stadium for Coastal Carolina. Sam Bradford's going to ask the Eagles to trade him. Yeah. Man, you got a free ride to the bank at direct deposit for 2 years. The guy they're drafting is not replacing you this year.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Tell them we sent you. You're asking how much of a discount do we get? It's really more of an ego boost on our part. We thought we'd mention it and suggest it. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Might I suggest you the best selection of beer anywhere? And, of course, they roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Water, soda, snacks, and the pickle bar, second to none. Love the dill pickles. Love the barrel pickles. May 4th, big day for me. Because I'm going to go in and make a stop in there on the way in. I need to stock up myself. Join us. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It'll also be great to catch up with Tom Mertz and the entire group from Sunbury Motors at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on May 4th. All right. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Now, there are a couple different ways you can go today. One is the Houston Rockets calling out Charles Barkley, calling out the media because they were able to survive and beat Golden State without Steph Curry last night. Here's a suggestion just play, okay? Just play, all right? But I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to this. The Eagles, of course, are going to draft a quarterback, and Sam Bradford, of course, is upset with the trade because he thought he was the only show in town. But listen to the money. Sam Bradford is set to get $18 million. Chase Daniel, the backup quarterback, is set to make $7 million. Now, it's actually worse than that because Daniel's contract includes $12 million in guarantees. This is a guy that can't win more than two or three games for you in any one season if he's the backup. If he was long-term, you thought you were upset with Mark Sanchez? Get ready for this show. Daniel's contract includes $12 million in guarantees. Bradford's contract includes $22 million in guarantees. Guess what you have to pay out for the number two pick? $24 million in guarantees. So you're talking at a position where you can only play one guy at a time. You're talking about $58 million in guarantees.
So much for that extra cap space.
I mean, seriously. Bradford's already collected $11 million as a signing bonus from the team. If they trade him, that means they're paying him $11 million and he didn't take a snap. Now, Bradford, he has $12.5 million, by the way. It's against the cap. And the Eagles would save $1.5 million in cap space. Also, if the trade goes down after June 1st, the Eagles can spend the $11 million cap hit over the next two seasons, which is $5.5 million a year. So they can do that. So if any team wants to acquire Sam Bradford, they'd only be on the hook, the new team, for $7 million. Which is exactly the same number the Broncos want to pay Colin Kaepernick. You're Mark Sanchez. And the Broncos acquired Bradford. You're like, what the heck am I doing?
That's ironic you bring up Colin Kaepernick. San Francisco has something like $50 million plus in available cap space.
Right. Crazy. So that's why they get our, in the end, because of the finances, they are the sports bozos of the day.
And you made it perfectly clear to Brandon Gowden yesterday that, come on, Chase Daniel, he is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Come on. He's another, I realize Bradford's from Oklahoma, but he's another one of those Big 12 record-setting, going nowhere in the NFL quarterback guys. Okay, he's Bryce Petty. Except a smaller version. Oh, heck. I mean, now, the one advantage Chase Daniel has, he knows Doug Peterson's system. That, I do understand that. All right, I was talking earlier about the TV contract. The Big Ten coaches, I'm talking about the basketball coaches, want the second half of this rights deal to include a significant portion of on ESPN. Now, that second half is also allegedly to include 25 football games and 50 basketball games. The part of this is that ESPN does check all the boxes in terms of viewership, ratings, social media, influence, game day, Mike and Mike, they check a lot of boxes. They know recruiting wise, it's important for them to be on ESPN. It is a wild card as to the recruiting impact that you have on Fox Sports 1. Nobody knows. It could be tremendous, easy to find. We don't know.
That is a gray area that nobody can really absorb yet. ESPN's a known entity. And the Big Ten basketball coaches want a presence on ESPN for all the reasons I just talked about. It's been the football coaches haven't said as much, but the basketball coaches have been very upfront about it. And again, ESPN, as I pointed out in the previous half hour, they've misjudged the Big Ten at every turn. They tried to lowball them in 2006, and Jim Delaney looked at him and said, well, we'll just start our own network. And basically, you sense that they all walked away and said, yeah, right, how's that going to work? Well, we're the cable TV sports experts. I mean, come on. You're going to start your own network? And then they did. ESPN came back to the table, $100 million per year for 10 years, so $1 billion. Final year of that contract's coming up. This time, I think they weren't willing to go above $150 million, and then Fox came in with this $250 million bid. Now they're like, okay, now what do we do? So it's twice they've really misjudged things in a way. But the deal now, the bottom line now is just to get the deal done. And as much as Penn State fans may complain about it, what ESPN has done around here over the last 4.5, 5 years. Okay, I understand that. Nobody understands that more than me. But there's also, you don't cut off your nose to spite your face either. You don't do that. Now, you can talk about Rutgers being, oh, yeah, Rutgers helped with the New York market. You and I both know, audience member, host, Sean, that Penn State carries the New York market.
Absolutely.
Okay, but having Rutgers there at least just reinforced it. How about that? It officially gave them the market. How about that?
Well, and they want to build studios in New York City, too. So I guess they were using that as leverage there, too.
Yeah, they're going to do that. They put the Big Ten tournament in there in 18. They're having a constant Madison Square Garden presence between another hockey basketball doubleheader next year. What will not involve Penn State?
And that was fun. Yeah, that was fun earlier this year. That was really cool. Just seeing the basketball game with Michigan at noon, and then they convert it right into a hockey matchup. I thought that was really neat.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what they're trying to do. They're trying to get that New York presence in there. I thought the NCAA Wrestling Championship made a great move by getting a New York presence. Because I don't even know where is the NCAA Wrestling next year? Oklahoma City?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it's back in Oak City. I don't think it's back in Iowa City, but yeah, Midwest for sure.
Yeah.
Corey Fossold will know.
Yeah. Well, here's one for you. All the coverage you got in New York on Yes, SNY, Times, Daily News, Post, you're not going to get that next year. And there's a difference between putting it in the Garden and putting it in the Barclays Center. There is a difference. There is a difference. That was a great big picture move. I think even though the ratings were down, I think it was the 16th rated sports show for the day. Not for the week or month, but for the day. And the ratings were down, I think, 10%. It still was an important big picture move for wrestling. Very important. Well, I know we've talked a lot about media in the last hour. Our thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Check out the Steve Jones Show podcast to hear that, as we talked about the NFL draft and a little bit about the Stanley Cup playoffs. But we've talked a lot of media here in the last 45 minutes, a little bit about the Redskins and a little bit about the Eagles, especially with the Bradford situation. But the media component is the component that, let's face it, that's what you watch. Where are you going to find the games? And what kind of domino effect does it have for other sports that you may love? Not everybody's, people love Penn State football, but there's another sport they may like. Not everybody's a basketball fan. There's another sport they may like. All right? So let's bring it back to wrestling, for example. We love wrestling. Wrestling's great. Wrestling sells out. We're a wrestling school. Okay, fine. Well, you can't be a wrestling school. Okay, you can be awesome and the best at wrestling, but you can't be a wrestling school. All right? You want to know why? Okay. Well, here's the reason why.
how do you pay for everybody else if you're a wrestling school? How? You can't even pay for yourself. Penn State's done the right thing by having an awesome product with an awesome coach, an awesome fan base that they don't overcharge. Because the most important thing is to get people into Rec Hall, into the arena, and love it. Great formula. But it also loses between $500,000 and $750,000 a year. So in other words, as a program, you're not self-sustaining. So you need to have a great television package with football. You need to have a great television package with men's basketball. And you need to have a great radio package for football and a great radio package for men's basketball. Because the entire, remember the big thing about the one team, one team? Well, in the reality, this is part of the one team formula. Who cares? Who cares if they're self-sustaining or not? I think, whatever you can do to close the gap, maybe make a little money, that's great. It certainly helps defray costs. But the idea is to have the best wrestling program possible, and that happens through a great coach, a great fan base, and money. Money. You want to be a great women's volleyball program. Well, you have a great coach, the best in the country. You've got a great program, an awesome fan base. And the other component you need is money. And that's where these TV contracts come into play. You've got 800 student athletes who are on some form of scholarship here at Penn State. You have to pay for it. You have to pay for their meals. You got to pay for the facilities. You got to pay for the upkeep. You got to pay for the training facilities. I mean, there's so many things now that you have to pay for. Well, whatever makes it easiest, and of course, we know that Penn State obviously had that bridge loan they had to take out, and this is a big step forward to getting them back on track. So you can be the best wrestling school in the country, which Penn State easily is. It's not even close. Penn State is the best wrestling program in the country. No ifs, ands, or buts. They got the best coach, the best fan base, the best wrestlers. They are the best wrestling program in the country. And are putting themselves into the argument of being the best wrestling program in history. Perfect. That's what they're expected to do. Right? The finances will come from other sources and help take care of things. Nothing wrong with that. It's called a formula. That's the way it works in sports. That's the way it works in intercollegiate athletics. In intercollegiate athletics, that's what works. Football, men's basketball, TV contracts, radio contracts, and then you filter it down. You got the best women's soccer program in the country at Penn State. Okay? Money filters down. Best women's volleyball program in the country. Money filters down. Best wrestling program. Money filters down. Perfect. That's fine. Because you're all, in the end, you're all one. It's all one in the end. And that's why, for example, you look at, the Big Ten is wrestling across the board. But like, take, for example, Oklahoma State. Well, the Big 12 TV contract is good, not great. Now, how does that affect now John Smith as to how he handles his program at Oklahoma State? Is he going to have the resources and finances that they have at Iowa and Penn State? Is he? This TV deal with Fox kind of blows things out of the water. As I mentioned earlier, half the Big Ten rights will now be more per school, half, than what each Pac-12 school gets. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us as we go through the afternoon here. Final few minutes of the show for the week. Oh, stop cheering. You people. Yay. Phillies tonight, 7:30, by the way.
when they take on the Brewers at Miller Park. Aaron Nola goes tonight for the Phils.
Yeah, Betsy, airtime and 8:10 first pitch tonight.
Yep. Yep, first pitch tonight at 8:10.
Quite a bit of hockey tonight as well. Three series could wrap up. Flyers.
Including the Flyers, yeah.
Yeah, Flyers are going to stave off elimination tonight with the Caps. Caps are up 3-1. That's down in D.C. And you got Minnesota, Dallas. Dallas up 3-1. Sharks and Kings. San Jose's up 3-1. Islanders, Panthers. That series tied 2-2. Penguins are back in action tomorrow. They have a chance to close out tomorrow against the Islanders. And Pens last night, 5-0 in the Garden.
Yeah, they were dominant. Absolutely dominant last night. And Malkin had a big night. Malkin had a huge night last night. And that's good to see because he had actually been slumping before. Before that. Well, no more. They're in good shape now. They are in good shape now. They go home with a 3-1 lead in the series. And this is just a little different for them compared to what they've done the last couple of years. Very, very important to see this. They're one of the teams you look at that could win the Stanley Cup. The Flyers are not. I mean, the Flyers are playing a team that could win the Stanley Cup, and that's obviously the Capitals, who ended up winning the President's Trophy this year as the number one team. So
just the run that the Pens have had, just going the back end of the season without Malkin, and of course with Flower out for a while with the back, down to a third string goalie.
Well, actually, yeah, Murray's actually the second team goalie. But they've won this series with their third-team guy, and they've won it with the second-team guy. And all this has bought Fleury time because he's trying to come back from a concussion. And let's face it, concussion protocol is the name of the game these days in the medical world.
Well, a few years back when Crosby had that concussion, the night game at Heinz Field, I mean, he got popped that night and wasn't the same the rest of that season.
No, he was not. Was not. All right, great week, a lot of fun. Next week is the NFL Draft. Sean is going to give you every pick from each of the 7 rounds.
Okay.
That should be exciting.
It's my homework this weekend. Okay, we'll get on that.
Should be exciting.
No blue-white game this weekend, so I have time to work on that.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do as an audience, you and me, is I'll do a show off to the side while Sean does this. He'll do it on the after show. Love the after show. Always have. Have a great weekend. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.